Okay, I'm going to be in Zephaniah chapter 3. Zephaniah is right before Haggai. It's about three little books back from the New Testament. Zephaniah chapter 3. And I'm going to begin reading verse 14, read through 17. Sing, O daughter of Zion. Shout, O Israel. Be glad and rejoice with all the heart, O daughter of Jerusalem. This is good stuff, folks. The Lord hath taken away thy judgments. He hath cast out thine enemy. The King of Israel, even the Lord, is in the midst of thee. Thou shalt not see evil any more. In that day it shall be said to Jerusalem, fear thou not, and to Zion, let not thine hands be slack. The Lord thy God in the midst of thee is mighty. He will save. He will rejoice over thee with joy. He will rest in his love. He will joy over thee with singing. I'm going to stop right there. I really liked that. I did. But let me read you something. This is by Lorraine Bettner. Lorraine Bettner was a Presbyterian. I can't help that. He wrote a couple of really good books. And although he did actually mention in sprinkling babies, and I don't believe that, but some of the other stuff he wrote was really good. This is one. Salvation is accomplished by the almighty power of the triune God. The Father chose a people. The Son died for them. The Holy Spirit makes Christ's death effective by bringing the elect to faith and repentance, thereby causing them to willingly obey the gospel. That's pretty good. The entire process, election, redemption, and regeneration, is the work of God and is by grace alone. Thus God, not man, determines who will be the recipients of the gift of salvation. That's pretty good. I'm going to tell you something. That's exactly what I see right here in Zephaniah. That's exactly what I see here. This is the word of the Lord from Zephaniah. The Lord thy God saves his people. That's it. My title today is called In the Midst of Thee. I'm going to start in verse 14. You look at verse 14, you see four things. Sing, shout, be glad, and rejoice. That's some good words. That's some good words. Zion, Israel, and daughter of Jerusalem. Why? Why should you sing? Why should you shout? Why should you be glad? Why should you rejoice? Well, listen. The Lord, thy God, Yahweh, is the reason. He's the reason. Understand what he says here. And I love this part, I really do. In verse 15, the Lord hath taken away thy judgments. Thy judgments. Now listen, folks, let's be very clear here. These were righteous judgments. You can read the rest of Zephaniah. There's a whole load of stuff I'm not going to get into other than the fact of this. Listen, these believers and Old Testament people who weren't believers, they rebelled against God. They rebelled against his word. And God was going to send them into captivity. Only for a time. Only for a season. But it was because of their rebellion. And listen, folks, Old Testament and New, even believers rebelled against God. Especially before God saved them. We still do now. But here's the thing. What did he say? The Lord hath taken away thy judgments. Oh, I like that. Like I said, they were righteous judgments. They were real judgments. And they were deserved judgments against them. We all sin and come short of the glory of God. And we all still do. We all still do. Nevertheless, I'll throw that word in there for me. Nevertheless, the Lord has taken away thy judgments. Literally, this means turned off, Walter. I like that. You had judgment against you. He turned it off. Now, he didn't turn it off without a reason. He had a reason. Oh, yes. But I like that. Matter of fact, it's talking about turning off the judicial verdict against you, which was well deserved, which was needed. It was meet that he would punish us, that he would have judgment against us. Why? Because we had sinned and come short of the glory of God. But he turned it off. He turned it off. Oh, I like that. And I'm going to tell you something. It was the Lord that did it. The Lord taking them away. The Lord Jesus Christ took them away. That's what I'm saying. Jesus Christ has taken away thy judgments by taking those judgments into himself. He bore in his body on the tree our sins. And the judgment for sin is death. And he died that death that we couldn't die and survive. Oh my, he turned off your judgments, taken away. But here it is, the Lord hath taken away thy judgment. Why? Because justice has been satisfied in Jesus Christ. The law has been satisfied in Jesus Christ. Oh, I like that. His precious blood was shed for our judgments. For our judgments. Oh, my. And they are paid. Paid in full. It is finished, is what he said. And it is finished, is what he meant. I don't owe a debt to God now. In Christ. I don't owe a debt to God. What do you mean? Even in the future? What am I going to do? Tomorrow? No, no. Blessed is the man to whom the Lord will not impute sin. It didn't say I didn't sin. It just said God won't impute it to me. Why? Because the Lord has taken away thy judgments. Now, either he did or he didn't. And if he didn't, I still owe him and I'm doomed. And if he didn't take away your future sin, you're doomed. That's just the truth of the matter. Because God will punish sin. And he did punish it for his people in Jesus Christ. And he paid the debt we owed. The Lord hath taken away thy judgments. There's no qualifier here. He took them away totally, and he took them away completely. Praise his name. Praise his name. Because here's the thing. There is no judgment against his people. Amen. His people. Oh, my. And not only that. Oh, I like this part, too. Not only that. He hath cast out thine enemy. Had an enemy. Had an enemy. Found out in the Garden of Eden. That's where it was promised. What happened to Calvary? He bruised the head of the serpent, Satan. He's cast. The devil can't touch you without the express written consent of God. That's the truth. I know a lot of people talk about a lot of things. They don't know what they're talking about. Even in the days of Job, he couldn't touch Job until God let him. And God put a boundary on him. So, okay, touch him, touch his stuff, but don't touch him. And then he said, okay, touch him, but don't kill him. And guess what? Satan towed the line every time. And guess what? He's still towing the line. God has cast out your enemy. That's not saying you won't be tempted. That's not saying you won't be tested. That's not saying you won't go through tribulation. But God's cast the enemy out. The prince of the power of the air, as he is called in the epistle, hath no power over you. God has cast him out. Oh my. What's it say? Fear thou not. In that day it shall be said to Jerusalem, fear thou not. Fear thou not. What are you supposed to do? What? Sing, shout, be glad, and rejoice. Oh, I like that. I do. And we have a reason to. We have a reason to. Oh, I'm going to tell you something. The Lord is in the midst of thee. The Lord is in the midst of thee. Oh, I like that. I do. Now, verse 17, this is where I wanted to go. I'm not going to keep you too long today. The Lord thy God is what? In the midst of thee. In the midst of thee. Is mighty. Oh, I like that. This is the Lord thy God. Yahweh thy Elohim. Jehovah thy Elohim. Who is the Lord? He's thy God. He's thy God. Oh. Oh, Israel, O daughter of Jerusalem. What are we to do? We are to be glad and rejoice. I like that. More joy. The Lord thy God is in the midst of thee, is mighty. He will save. He will rejoice over. And he's going to rejoice over thee with joy. We'll get to that in just a minute. But here it is. In the midst. Now here's the thing. In the midst of thee. Of thee. Oh, I like that. The Lord thy God is in the midst of thee. What's that mean? He's the center of all of his people. He's the center. All of the people of God are to sing, to shout, to be glad and rejoice. Why? Because the Lord's right in the middle of it. Oh, I like that. I do. Oh, and I'm going to tell you something. He's in the midst of his people. I'm going to tell you, always. Always. Oh. But what's the first thing he actually lists here when he says this? The Lord thy God is in the midst of thee is mighty. Mighty. Oh, I like that. Walter said a few weeks ago, he is the Lord God Almighty. The maker of heaven and of earth. And it is he that made us. And not we ourselves. He's the maker of his people. The creator of his people. Oh. Oh. I'm going to tell you something. The Lord God in the midst of thee has all power. All power. There's no power around that God didn't give it. Walter covered this wonderfully well. I'm going to tell you, but I won't say it again. It don't matter. Satan has no power except what God gives him.
Right.
Oh, my. The king's heart is in the Lord's hand. Mm-hmm. And not only that, what's it say? He turns it whithersoever he will. And I don't care how much people want to fight about it. The Lord hardened Pharaoh's heart. You may not like it, but that doesn't matter. It's true. it's true. Yes, it also says Pharaoh hardened his heart, which was also true. But it does say the Lord hardened his heart. And actually, I think it says it first. Why does that upset people? Well, some people it doesn't upset, because it's okay for God to do that in the Old Testament, but he can't do it in the New. Jesus came and changed everything. No, he didn't. Jesus came and fulfilled everything. He didn't change anything. The law is still true. Thank God I'm not under it. Thank God he sent, he had Abraham cast out Hagar and her son. You know why? Because the law can't abide with grace. And grace is not going to abide with the law. That doesn't make the law not true. That doesn't make the law not good. It makes me and you who believe free from the law of sin and death. So I'm going to tell you something. The law never fixed anything.
Right.
The law never made anyone righteous. But Jesus Christ has taken away thy judgments. You know what he did? He made you righteous in God's sight. In God's sight. Oh my. Why? He got all the power. I got power over all flesh. Living flesh. Dead flesh, big flesh, tall flesh, whatever. All flesh. Why? That I might give everlasting life to as many as the Father gave to me. Oh, my goodness. And the Lord has taken away thy judgments. And the Lord is in the midst of thee, what? With power, with might. Oh my, the Lord thy God is wherever his people are. What did David say? This is Psalms 139. You don't have to turn there. If I ascend up into heaven, thou art there. If I make my bed in hell, thou art there. Thou art there. Behold, thou art there. Even there, here it is. Even there shall thy hand lead me. Oh, that's good stuff. And thy right hand shall hold me. Hold me. Oh, my goodness. What does the Lord do, the Lord thy God, in the midst of us? He leads us and he holds us. Ah, that's good stuff. Oh, he leads us by his hand. He holds us by his right hand. The Lord stays in the midst of his people. Oh, I like that. Gosh. Luke 24 and verse 36. This is after the death and the resurrection of Jesus Christ. As they thus spake, speaking of the disciples, Jesus himself stood, where? In the midst of them. In the midst of them. And saith unto them, peace be unto you. Oh, I like that too. I'm going to tell you this. In the midst of thee, he speaks peace. I'm going to tell you something. If he speaks peace, you got peace. You got peace. Oh, I'm going to tell you. You have peace with God. You have peace with God. Whether you know it or not. Whether you feel it or not. Because I understand. Circumstances affect us. And lots of times, not well. But circumstances do affect us. But you still have peace with God. You know why? Because he said it. That makes it so. That makes it so. He who is our peace speaks peace to his people. Where from? Right in the midst of them. Right in the midst of them. Oh, I like that too. And you have peace with God. And here's the thing. Matthew 18, verse 20 says this, "For where two or three are gathered together in my name, there am I." Where? In the midst. In the midst. Oh, in the midst of them. Oh, there am I. The Lord thy God is in the midst of thee. He's in the midst of us, believers. He spoke this 2,000 years ago. He ain't changed his mind. He hadn't changed his mind. He hadn't changed his way. He hasn't changed his walk. He hadn't changed his work. What Christ said is always true, whether we know it or not. I'm going to tell you something. He's in the midst when we gather in his name. That's what it says. And let me point this out. Just one little quick aside here, because of this word he uses here. The Lord thy God is in the midst of thee. That word thee can be used as a singular word or a plural word. It's one of them weird words. It just depends on who the subject is. And I'm going to tell you, in this case, it's used for both. Because he's in the midst of his people. But I'm going to tell you this. He's in the midst of thee. He's in the midst of you. Oh, what's it say? It is Christ in you, the hope of glory. The Lord is in the midst of thee. I give me a little chill bump there. The Lord is in the midst of his people. Every single individual believer. And he is in the midst of us as a group. When we gather to hear the gospel preached, and we gather to preach the gospel, the Lord is in the midst of thee. Oh, that's good stuff. Oh, and here's the thing. The Lord in the midst of us is mighty and gracious and merciful. He leads us. He holds on to us. And it's all by what? His mighty power. Amen. The Lord thy God in the midst of thee is mighty. You understand? He's not going to lose anything he's got a hold of. Nobody's plucking us out of his hand. Nobody says unto him, "What doest thou?" Because if it's your business, he'll tell you, and if it's not your business, you just listen. His word tells us. He is mighty. He is mighty. Oh, my. And he's in the midst of thee. He leads us, and he holds us, and he gives us peace. What? By his power. He's got the power to do it. And he says, he's done it. He's done it. Oh, my. And what's it say? It says, the Lord thy God in the midst of thee is mighty. Three words. He will save. Oh, that's good. He saves his people. The Lord saves his chosen people. Chosen in him before the foundation of the world. All that the Father giveth to me will come to me. Shall come to me. And I will in no wise, what? Cast them out. You know why? Because I'm going to be in the midst of them. I'm going to be in the midst of them. The Lord has taken away our judgments. He's cast out our enemy. And the Lord has saved his people from their sins. That's what he told, the angel told Joseph. Call his name Jesus. Why? For he shall save his people from their sins. Now, did he or didn't he? That's what he came to do. Did he or didn't he? The Lord, what? The Lord hath taken away thy judgments and cast out thine enemy. I'm saying he did it, folks. This was looking forward to our Lord Jesus Christ, and we're looking back. And 2,000 years ago or thereabouts, our Lord Jesus Christ did save his people from their sins. It says it in Hebrews. The Lord Jesus Christ has sanctified and perfected forever those that he sanctified. How did he do it? By one offering. By one offering of the Son to the Father, of Jesus Christ to the Father. What? The offering of his own blood shed for us. That's what it says. Shed for us. Mark 16, verse 16 says that, he that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, but he that believeth not shall be damned. Now, if you want, I'll give you the really deep theological meaning of that. It means he that believeth in Jesus Christ is saved, and he that believeth not is damned. That's it. That's what he said. That's what he meant. And you can take it out of your Bible if you want to. I mean, I know places do. You won't find it other than in italics in the NIV. But this is what Christ said, and this is what he meant. John 6 and verse 47 says this, verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth on me hath everlasting life. In John 11, 25, put it even better as far as I'm concerned, Jesus saith unto her, I am the resurrection and the life. What? He that believeth in me, here it is, folks, though he were dead, yet shall he live. You want to know why? The Lord thy God's taken away thine judgments. Yeah. And he's cast off thine enemy. And the Lord thy God is in the midst of thee. And he is mighty. He is mighty. He will save. He's not asking for your cooperation. He's not asking for your work. We're talking about his work right here. He's going to save his people from their sin. And he did. And he's doing it now. He's calling them out. Because here it is. The Lord thy God, Jesus Christ, is the author and finisher of faith. So he that believeth on me hath everlasting life, has been given the faith of Jesus Christ. Because he that believes will understand. Oh, I like that stuff. Understand this. With his bountiful, perfect offering, Jesus Christ has obtained eternal redemption for us. Oh my. What did it say in Hebrews 2 and verse 10? For it became him. Who? The Lord thy God. For it became him for whom are all things and by whom are all things, in bringing many sons to glory. Oh my. To make the captain of their salvation perfect through sufferings. That's the Lord Jesus Christ. He is bringing many sons unto glory. He told us, other sheep I have that are not of this fold, them I must bring. He's going to bring them. He's going to bring them. And I'm going to tell you something, folks. He's going to bring them unto glory. Unto glory. Oh, I like that. The Lord thy God will save in the midst of thee. In the midst of thee. Oh, I like that. What does he say? He will save. He will rejoice over thee with joy. He will rest in his love. He will joy over thee with singing. Oh, I'll tell you something. Remember the parable of the lost sheep, the lost coin, the lost son. There's two places in there. I say unto you, this is Luke 15 and verse 7, I say unto you that likewise joy shall be in heaven. What? Over one sinner that repenteth. More than over 99 just persons which need no repentance. One sinner repents, there's joy in heaven. There's joy in heaven. Luke 15 and verse 10 says this, likewise I say unto you, there is joy in the presence of the angels of God over one sinner that repenteth. The Lord thy God has taken away thy judgments, he's cast out thine enemy, and he will save. He's mighty, and he will save, and he will rejoice over thee. That's what it says. I mean, this is just over us, miserable, rotten sinners who were without hope, without God, and in the world. But he'll save, and then what? He will rejoice over thee with joy. He will rest in his love, and he will joy over thee with singing. Isn't that just amazing? Okay, that's amazing grace. And that's a sweet sound. That's a sweet sound. Oh, he saves and he joys. And we're to joy also. Sing, shout, be glad, and rejoice, folks. Oh my, the Lord God omnipotent reigns. The Lord God omnipotent saves. And the Lord God omnipotent rejoices in the salvation of the people that he gave to his son. Oh, he saves and he joys. He brings in and he rejoices. And he gathers them together and he gives peace. He gives peace. Because I'm going to tell you this, folks. The Lord thy God is glorified in the salvation of his people. In the salvation of his people. Every single one of us. The Lord Jesus Christ brings in his people, gathers his people together in the midst of them joyfully. Joyfully. Oh. The Lord thy God rejoices. In the midst of thee. In the midst of thee. I like that. John Newton wrote this verse. There, midst the flock, the shepherd dwells. The sheep around in safety lie. The wolf in vain with malice swells, for he protects them with his eye. Oh, I'm going to tell you, God dwells with his people in the midst of them. In the midst of them. And God saves his people in the midst of them. And God rejoices in the salvation of his people in the midst of them. Because the Lord thy God is in the midst of thee. Oh, fear thou not. Fear thou not. Trust in the Lord. If you know Christ, rejoice. Shout, sing, be glad. If you don't know him, come to him. If you'd like to know him, come to it. What does it say in that verse? I got the last verse in my last stanza. Jesus ready stands to save thee, full of pity, love, and power. Power. He's got the power, folks. Come to him. Call upon the name of the Lord. Come unto him, all that labor and are heavy laden. He'll give you rest. For your soul. For your soul. And the Lord is always in the midst of his people. Our Heavenly Father, we're thankful this time, this place. Lord, this opportunity to try to praise your holy name. You have given us your Son, who is our Lord, Jesus Christ, the ruler of heaven and an earth. Oh, the King of kings and Lord of lords. Lord, bless your word to our hearts and let us carry it deep and bring your Son's words to our memory. Be with Walter as he comes to preach. Be with Paul as he stands elsewhere. And be with all of your men everywhere preaching your gospel to be heard today. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.